This is on sport.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Does the music stop? I notice you haven't plugged my earphones in. Why haven't you done that already? You've had now to do that, Rocket. You've become waylaid today. You've become compromised by your efficiency here today. As I was saying, if I was paying you, I would have sacked you by now. But seeing as you're doing it of your own free will, I'll let you stay on.
I quit today anyway.
Don, now this is sport. Now, you'll think that this is salacious and grubby, because that's just coming off your favourite Christmas gifts questions. But I thought this is an underground sport which is proliferating, unbeknownst to a lot of people, but this is what happened in India. A man has died. I'm reading this off the wires, if you think I'm making this up. A man has died in southern India after his own rooster, which is a cock, which had been fitted with a knife, so they fit a knife to one of its legs so it can stab its other combatant that it's fighting, punctured the owner's groin while attempting to escape an underground cockfight. The man died from a loss of blood before he could reach a hospital in the Kamagjira district in Telangana state earlier this week. The man was among people... So, he went to retrieve or try.
Yeah, I know exactly what it is. They strap spurs to the cock's feet. Are they out? I thought they may have been outlawed in India, cockfighting.
Of course they are, Donald. It's a legal thing.
It's an underground.
It's underground everywhere. You can't have cocks fighting one another. Can you? Have you ever strapped a knife? No, and so Don. There is new ways people are finding every week to die. Imagine you going to retrieve your pet rooster who's got a knife strapped to one of its legs and you're just drawing it into your body just to put it in a cage and it stabs you in your John Thomas and you die from a loss of blood. How many pricks and stabbings would you get in your dick? And if you had enough of them, you'd end up be able to play your cock like a recorder. You'd have to put, in fact, if you urinate, you'd have to put your finger over all the holes so you didn't piss on yourself.
Well, you're taking it a bit far now, aren't you?
Well, probably a little bit far, don't you? So that's the first sporting item.
Well, there's another one on social media at the moment. You probably didn't see this. Did you see the Irish, there is an Irish trainer, Gordon Elliott. Now, he's a well-known racehorse trainer. In fact, he won the 2018 and 2019 Grand National, you know, the jumping race in England, not with Tiger Roll.
Mm-hmm.
Here he is sitting on a dead horse with the peace sign on his phone. Can you believe?
So the horse died in the race?
No. They've put the horse down. It's dead. Here he is sitting on top of it on his phone with the peace sign.
He would be disappointed he did that. Unless he's a complete and utter moron.
Exactly. I think he's finished in racing.
Yes.
So you didn't see that on social media?
Well, I didn't. Sit on him like a park bench.
Well, he's just sitting on the horse's stomach.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's out and...
Mightn't have run well for him.
The training track. It's a sand track and all the rest of it. So the horse was out to it, you're dead, and here he is sitting on the phone with a peace sign.
No, it's a bad look, Don. I do agree with that. And he should be summarily discharged from any duties to do with racing, I'd reckon. I reckon that'd be fair.
You wonder why someone would do that, wouldn't you?
Well, unless he was got the shits with the horse because it hadn't come home when he thought it would win. I don't know, Don. He might be just a
talking about racing, and you guys are not into it, but there's something happening here in Melbourne right at this moment, and I alerted you to it a couple of months ago, and it's a progressive thing. Jamie Carr, originally, she's a jockey, originally out of South Australia. She is leading the jockey premiership by nearly 20 rides at the moment. She's 69 so far. The premiership finishes at the end of July. Next to her is Damien Lane, who's on 47, followed by Damien Oliver. We all know Damien Oliver, 42. So she's 69 at the moment, and it finishes at the end of the year. 20 in front. It's an incredible effort by this girl. Eh?
You're right, you know.
What?
We're not into it.
She's won a total of $88 million.
He doesn't say much, but he chips in. He's been very... $88
million she's won this year.
Cutting. What?
She's won $88 million in
$88 million state
money, but her share is only 5%.
What's that? What's 5% of 88
400,000?
Yeah, no, 4 million.
No, hang on. $88 million. I said 8 million.
Well, what's 88 million?
You said 88.
Well, it's 8.8 million, so okay, I missed the dot.
8.8, did you?
8.8. I missed the dot. 8.8 million she's won, so her share is about 400,000.
Yeah.
So far this year.
So, yeah, that very, very interesting, Don. What else?
Well, I find it, I think it's that a young lady,
so
she's been here for a couple of years, maybe a third year here, but to lead the jockey premiership.
And we did say several months ago, the only sports in the world where women compete on an even footing with men was equestrian. And now we're doing actually horse riding. This woman is supreme at the minute. And what was the other one? I couldn't think of the other one.
Quoits.
I don't think they would compete on an equal footing with men with quoits.
How do you say?
Quoits. Russell Quoit. A quoit. Do men have quoits? Kick in the coit. What are the other sports that women compete on an equal footing with men?
You are right.
Curling?
It was equestrian. Oh, you said it the other week.
Equestrian? That was the only one, I think. Maybe billiards, if you consider that a... I don't know if there's any top... women billiards players that beat the men. Maybe curling, Don, you know, where they push the granite slabs down the ice rink.
I understand what you're saying, but would men have an advantage being stronger?
For curling? Mm. No, because you just got to push the thing slides. You've got to judge how hard to push it.
What about lawn bowls?
Well, that might be the... I would think a man can rocket a lawn bowl to clear the kitty into the... I have no idea what I'm talking about. Maybe lawn bowls, Donald? Maybe lawn bowls. What else would you think that women can compete in sport or the gestational person could compete with the non-birthing parent in sport, Don?
I'm thinking.
Don't brag. Now, what else? Dave, have you got any sympathy for Tiger Woods?
Well, we mentioned it last week. It went to air last week. It happened actually a week ago today.
No, but we didn't understand, I don't think, the magnitude of his injuries. We thought...
Well, is that the point? No.
So do you have any sympathy for him?
Yeah, well, of course.
Yep. So you think this is just some of the chat that's going around. The entitled man who is probably the best golfer ever... rushing to a thing that he was late for, just roll the car after everything that's gone on in his life. I suppose it can happen to anyone, can't it?
Do you think he's the best golfer?
I personally don't, but it's a subjective thing.
Who do you think?
I think Jack Nicklaus is.
I was just going to say Jack Nicklaus.
But Jack Nicklaus didn't have quite the amount of competition week in, week out that Tiger had. And it's so subjective.
Would you go back further?
Yes, Sam Snead.
What about Bobby Locke?
Ben Hogan, all those people. Brilliant. With all the equipment.
With different clubs?
Yes, different clubs and different balls. And do you know that the scoring is no better now than it was when all those people with the inferior clubs, the inferior balls, the inferior setup of golf courses, the scoring is no better. It just shows... the immense talent those people had from yesteryear, Donald. It's a bit like you playing football.
Why was
no
Peter
one's
Thompson
better than you today than when you played football all those years ago?
You're into golf.
Yes.
Peter Thomson.
Yes.
Why did he always perform well in the British Open?
Because he shunned America a bit. He didn't like all the hoopla and crap that went on with it over there. And that's why he didn't play the American tour. He is an English gentleman, he was, and that's why...
No, he's Australian.
I know, he was an English gentleman. He liked the English lifestyle and he didn't like all the hoopla and crap that went on in America. I interviewed Peter Thomson once for The Sun when I did those interviews, and that's what he said. In not as many words, but that's what he was alluding to. And how many British Opens did he win?
He won a number. I don't
know. How many?
I don't know. Three?
No.
Okay, come on, tell me.
Five.
Really?
Yes. Like, he used to play quoits as well. Quoits and croquet. But quoits was his favourite sport.
Did his game lend itself to the British conditions?
Yes, it did. He was running...
I was just going to say, because it's open, don't they play on links courses?
They do. They play on just common ground. And he didn't flight the ball high. He just hit runners and cut and pull and hook and draw shots. He was uncanny, Donald. But you've never been into golf because you're just you have no coordination, and you just don't have long, flexible muscles. You have those tight little binding muscles which don't lend to athleticism.
Did you see the Monash... Just getting off this subject, you idiot. The Monash University's conducted... Did you see that? It might pertain
conducted?
To you. Conducted studies into concussion or CTE.
No, I didn't.
Well, they believe that through testing with saliva and blood, taking blood samples, you can detect CTE...
Really?
...in its early stages.
It just
but they're running out of money to go any further with the study, so...
So, Don, if you... And I'm saying this seriously. If you or I went and gave saliva or blood now...
No. Well, whilst you're playing, they could detect it, the oncoming of CTE.
Well, say if you gave or I gave blood or saliva now, could they say, you are living with CTE, or if we haven't got it by now, we won't have it?
Yeah, that's a very interesting proposition. That's very interesting.
I'd go and get tested if I was you. I would go immediately after we finish here and give some saliva to someone to test, because I'm not sure that you're functioning on all four cylinders at the minute.
Don't worry, I've thought of that too.
Have you?
Have you? Well, I am forgetting a lot of things.
Yeah, if any man will wander out to the side of a cairn on the highway and have a look at the inscription on the stone monument there,
don't worry.
I reckon I'd give some saliva immediately.
Don't worry, I've thought of it.
Have you?
Or do you think that's just part of the process?
What process?
Well, as you advance in years.
Yeah, what, you're in decline. Your mental acuity is in decline.
Well, the memory is not what it used to be.
No, your mental acuity is in decline, Donald. I can tell you that. I'm not a doctor, but I can just assess that from here.
What about yourself?
No, I'm as sharp as a tack. I don't know why I do this. Now, Don, I reckon there's going to be a change in some personnel with the football calling.
Oh, you reckon, do you?
Rocket, you've got the bracing bits today. This was a segue.
Don finally got him.
What are you talking about?
You finally got him.
This is
he's
a
squared up. Now that he's gone, Don, tell everyone the story about you and Bruce.
So there's a segue. This is a segue, Rocket, into there's going to be a change of personnel because some people are dropping out. Not before time, I probably would think, and that's good. You got to know when you've...
Hold them, know when to fold
them. You got to know when to hold them and fold them. So what was the Rocket alluding to, Don? I'm not familiar with that story.
Oh, come on, Don. It's a funny story. Can I tell it? Can I tell my version?
Yes?
I got pointed at for everyone. I can't tell.
Okay, so...
It had to do with live mics.
So who do you like? Who do you like, Donald? I know you don't follow it like
I
do.
Love those donuts.
Like I do. Oh, this is Wedgetake Eagle stuff, mate. We were talking about footy commentators and you're under Ivan eating some donuts, are you? Don.
Snorted him.
Who do you like as a football caller?
And well, do you know the best commentary?
I'm asking you the question. No.
I'm just going to go a little bit further. The best commentary I ever heard was Peter Landy, and I'm repeating myself, Peter Landy calling the rowing at one of the Olympic Games. I actually sat down and I learnt something from Peter Landy.
Because he's a rower.
Exactly right. Now, I think commentators, well, not think, I know commentators, their job is to teach or inform and just not describe. We can see what's going on out there, especially on television, radio different. But on television, but I think that we should be informed no matter what the sport is, so we become involved and so we learn
could
as
I
we
deduce
watch.
From that, Donald, that Peter Landy, who was a very competent rower, when he called the rowing, knew what he was talking about. Do you think, this is just a question, not a statement, do you think it is important to have played the game at the highest level or at a reasonably high level in order to commentate on it properly?
I would say yes to inform the people because I believe commentary, as I just said to you, commentary, we know what's going on, we see it, we don't want to be told who or what, but we should be told exactly what's happening with regard to the game.
So that's a different role. There's different roles in a commentary.
Now, so now I would speak authoritatively on this because he set up Fox Sports. So go ahead, Robert.
I know it's hard to commentate to get the fluency, but there are people who can do it,
Don,
as well as Don, inform.
Don, we got an expert with us.
Who?
Rocket set Billy. Up Fox Sports. What?
Billy from
Rocket set up Fox Sports. I'm serious. I'm looking at you now, Don. I'm not looking at him because he's probably embarrassed that I'm praising him.
No, I'm
he
sober.
Set up Fox Sports and he would have got people into the booth to call football who he thought was competent.
And I did it so well I've ended up here.
Go on. So when you were designating people to go out and call games, what did you look for?
It's like food. Everyone has a different taste. But I think the best commentary teams are the teams that have a straight caller, you know, a la what you said, Peter Landy, you know, when Peter did it with Lou. Then you have like what I would call a comedy. This is the way I like to set up teams.
Comedic?
Colour caller, right? You know, like the best ever was Rex. You know what I mean? Someone who put a bit of colour into it. BT's fantastic at it now. Lou Richards was fantastic. You know, those types of guys. You know,
but you're looking for entertainment. It's subjective.
Yeah, that's why I just said that. It's like
okay, I'm just telling you that I look at sport for a reason and I want to learn and be educated. But you're looking for entertainment.
So, but I'm saying though, typically you have a straight caller like Cometti or Bruce that anchors it. Then you have a colour caller a la, you know, BT, who I think is great. I think you have to have the mix. I don't think you have there's a thing in the paper today saying that JB's going to be trialled. JB's fantastic.
Fantastic.
I don't know, though, that him and BT together is a good mix in my view. I instead would have liked the opportunity to build a team around each of them. So you have, you know what I mean? So you have a straight caller with each of them, and that'd be a great team. You know, that gives you more depth. And then you might bring them together, say, for a grand final because it's a special comment.
I hope someone is listening to this, Rocket, because you could be the man that could... No, I'm serious. Should be the man that is the go-to man. You should have a job as producing this because you know what you're talking about.
No, I don't. But anyway, my thing is...
Oh, all right, you don't.
I don't understand that when Dennis... Similarly, you don't have two straight callers either. I don't think that it worked well when... I just will be against everybody. Everyone will disagree with this. But I don't reckon Dennis and Bruce were all that good together. It was too wet. It was just too... I don't think Bruce particularly knew his role. I think Dennis was fine. Dennis went on with it. But I think Bruce sort of became, I don't know, he was posing questions all the time. And I don't think quite, you know. Anyway, but for me, I'm staggered to hear that. Why haven't they got Hutto?
Well,
Hutto is by far and away the best caller on TV.
Well, have you got his number? We'll ring him and ask.
Of course I've got his number.
Well, have you?
Yeah.
Well, this is not about me, Don. But if you're talking about entertainment. Now, this is a verbatim call. This was my first day ever on 3AW football, sitting next to Rex, calling the football out at Waverley, with Ron Barassi doing special comments. Me and Ron were doing special comments, and Rex was calling the football. And this is because I there's a such a thing called a logger tape on the radio stations keep in case you're libel or slander someone. They go back and replay it. And I got the logger tape off 3AW. This was Rex's my first association with Rex. This is when Ablett, he used to go, Ablett. And this was Rex's opening call out at Waverley, my first day. And this is true. This is absolutely true. And this is how it went. And this is Rex. And umpire Darren Goldspink holds this air conveyance into the atmosphere and bang, slams it onto the rubber knob and the ball rises into the afternoon sunshine and Milhanna's cranium glistens in the afternoon light and the ball goes down to Longmar on a lead to Lowy. Lowy goes aboard another half-hold line and now comes And at that stage, the people listening to this in front were the broadcasting, not one person was looking at the footballer Ablett. They turned around to look at Rex, who had his veins sticking out on his neck like the Yarra River from a helicopter. I thought he was going to burst a blood vessel. And he went on, he said, and Ablett has a shot at goal and the ball goes behind the stick. And it's a man on the front row eating a pie. Special comments, Ron Barassi. And Ron, I thought, well, here we go. Ron's going to give the special comments here. This will be good. Ablett should have probably centred the ball or hand-passed it or come into the goal score. I don't know. It's the corridor. And Ron said, you're wrong, Rex. And Rex said, no, Ron went behind the stick. And Ron said, wasn't a pie he was eating. It was a kebab. This went on for 20 minutes, whether it was a fucking pie. So you're talking about entertainment. No one had any idea about the football, where it was played, what the score was. And Rex reigned supreme for 20 years on 3AW with that nonsense. So there you are.
Just depends.
And then you turn over to the ABC and... Yes, the ball comes out the back, hand pass over to Swatson. Watson gets the ball, and there's a goal.
Yeah, but you know where the ball. Now you know where the ball is, though.
Hmm?
The ball is on the halfback flank. Beg your pardon?
What about when the game's rubbish?
The game.
You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes you need a little bit extra.
Like most of them, Don.
That, you know, you got to invoke something.
Anyway, we're all different, and what we try to get out of different things. And so you look for entertainment. I look for something else.
We'll take a break.
Did you get hold of him?
I'll get him.
You've just spoken to him.
Okay.
Have you?
Yes, okay.
Well done, Rocket. You've done something today. You've been proactive.
I don't know how to plug your headphones.
So you've got Anthony Hudson's going to take our call, is he?
Oh, yeah, wow.
All right, there you are, Don. Do you know anything about Anthony Hudson? I think he came
from... Do you really, though, Don? Who's your favourite commentator, Don, at the moment?
Football.
Actually, I turn the volume down.
And
yes.
Do what? Just listen to
and just files. Watch.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Who's your favourite commentator ever on footy?
Ever. Don. Harry Bynsel. Lou Richards. Jack Dyer. Ian Major.
Okay, I'll give you one.
Smokey Dawson.
I'll give you one.
Sandy Roberts.
Just shut up. I'll give you one.
Okay, what's what he was asking?
When I was playing, occasionally you'd listen in, and to get an idea of the opposition and what they were doing, Tom Layoff.
Tommy Layoff.
Yes.
Thanks, Harry.
Oh, Don, please.
As far as getting a knowledge of the opposition, how and what
really?
They're doing. Yes, because Tommy
Harry
was
Harry
Bynsel
here down to the room.
Quite insightful.
Tommy
you'd pick
Tommy.
Up one or two little things about what he was saying.
Harry Bynsel here down to the room.
Favourite ever expert comment?
Huh? Well, he was kind of the expert.
Tommy was.
Yes.
Harry Bynsel here. Can we go down to the rooms? Tommy, you're there. Hey, I'm here. What's happening down there? What's happening, Tommy? Well, the boys have been locked in the rooms, Harry, and I think someone's not going to come. Thank you very much, Harry. Tommy.
Don's favourite.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the mood down there, Tommy? Well, Harry, I've been locked out, but I'm knocked on the door, and a bloke told me through the keyhole that he doesn't think Swanson's going to come back on the ground, Harry. Thank you very much, Tommy. Right, back to you. We'll be back after the break. You reckon that's the best stuff you've heard, is it, Don? Don?
Who's your favourite, smartass?
Don? I think he's... My favourite caller?
Yeah.
Well, I think Dwayne Russell's a good caller.
He's got to be. Yeah, yeah, I agree.
My favourite team,
shout at me,
in terms of teams, Anthony Hudson's a very. I actually rang Anthony Hudson one day. Well, this is how opportune that is he on the line. I rang out Anthony Hudson one day after I heard I was watching a game up in Sydney, and it was very close, and he was fantastic
on radio or television.
TV, it was on, no, I think it was on the radio, to be honest.
So he was describing exactly what was happening.
He was articulate, and he was nice wordsmith. He was good.
Do you remember when Gary, JB and Dwayne used to do Sunday afternoons?
No.
You don't,
what, on the radio?
On Nine. They used to, and it used to be pretty funny. When the game was rubbish, it used to be pretty funny.
Oh, yes.
That was enjoyable. That's what I mean. Sometimes you need to be able to go.
I thought Alan McGilvray, we're going back a bit. As far as cricket goes, I thought he was a great commentator.
Well, that's true, Don, but we're talking about football, man.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about commentators.
Howard Cassell was good at the boxing with Muhammad Ali. I don't think Howard could probably call the
grand final. Ron Casey was a very good boxing commentator.
Boxing.
Phil Liggett.
Yeah, but good boxing commentator.
Martin
cycling.
Tyler.
Yeah. Cycling.
Martin Tyler, EPL.
Yeah, cycling. Yeah. Oh, Daryl Eastlake.
Well done, Ivan. Yeah. And he said, that's right, he said. And we've got Martina Swashalova. Have a look at her snatch. Bang, up it goes. What a fantastic snatch. And clean and jerk. Won't see better than that. Won't see a better snatch than that ever. Right. And I think she hoisted half a pickup truck above her head to win the... win the clean and snatch at the Rome Olympics, Don. And Daryl Eastlake never spoke.
Clean and
never,
jerk.
Never called again.
Clean and jerk.
Clean and jerk. And a snatch. A snatch.
We'll be back.
A legitimate lift, a snatch.